This external building that he has given us belongs to the Lord. This belongs to the Lord. Regardless of the condition you are in, your body belongs to the Lord when you trusted him as your Savior. Hopefully you found your spot in 1 John chapter 4. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we read verses 7 through 11. And the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Our Heavenly Father, we've sung, we have greeted one another, we've listened to a special emphasizing your holiness. Couldn't help but while they were singing that song, their ear created beings in heaven that constantly say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And you certainly are. Thank you that we can experience forgiveness of sins in a life that pleases you because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I hope every one of us have experienced forgiveness and have a personal relationship with you. And if not, then today would be the day that we would do that. So, Lord, as we look into your word this morning, our topic is on love. And I hope that we would be found guilty of loving one another, even when the world does not understand all that we are doing. Help us this morning to experience and to know this truth personally. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Obviously, we've been talking about the church. To give you some background, the fact is Jesus said he would build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Satan hates the church because obviously it's something that Christ founded and that he loves. He hates anything that God loves. That's why he hates you, because God loves us. The other reason why he hates the church is when the church is functioning properly, Satan can't stop it. Fact number two. The church is a called-out group of people. When you accept Christ, you are part of that called-out group. Fact number three, the time will come when Jesus will come to get his church, his bride, to be forever with him in glory. That's you and I. Christ is coming back. Say that with me. Christ is coming back. Now, I know at times we wonder, Lord, how long? How long? But let me tell you something. The Lord is coming back. And I'm looking forward to his return. But while we are here, we are on assignment to a lost and dying world that needs to hear of what Christ has done so that they too can become part of his church by choosing him as their personal Savior. So what do? Well, I don't want to be too negative this morning, but sad to say, the church doesn't always do what it's supposed to do. Let's just say that. Sometimes churches have turned into social clubs and social gatherings, and very little of the gospel is ever shared. That's not the purpose of the church. Sometimes, I don't know, maybe your family gets along great, but some families don't get along, and the church is a family, and sometimes church families don't get along. And so there gets to be some bickering and fighting and sniping, if you will, at one another, and really does not show the love of Christ in that church family. Sometimes you can walk into a church, and God has blessed us with a wonderful spirit in this church, but you can walk into a church sometimes and you can just sense in the room that there's trouble here. We've been here for 30 years now. There has been times in this ministry, as the pastor of this church, where as we're conducting the service, I just sense that something is wrong. And you try so hard to figure that out. That is not going on right now. I did not walk into church this morning and sense something is wrong. But I've shared all that with you to say, if Jesus Christ was not the founder of the church, it would have been dead and gone a long time ago. Mankind, people like myself, have done such a horrible job at conducting the business of the church that it should have gone bankrupt and stopped. But because Jesus Christ is the founder, it just keeps moving forward. And I don't know about you, but I am some thankful that he's the founder. Amen? Amen? So the church is here. Thank God that it is. So let's not get too caught up in the shortcomings of the church, but let's look at what Christ has done for us to equip us as service for him. Number one, he's given us a facility. Now, in 1994, there wasn't much of a facility here, but by God's grace, over a period of time, we've been able to invest in it, put some energy into it, and God has given us a wonderful building. We've talked about that in the past. Not only did he give you a facility physically to meet in, he has given you a facility personally. That's the body that you walk around in. You and I, you are not your body. Your body is what we recognize you in, but there will come a time when you will be separated from your body. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You and I, if you will, are, for instance, and someone gave this illustration. I'm going to get a little sidetracked here, but I think it's important. This is a sinful body. It's not perfect. I know it looks perfect to you, but this is not a perfect body, okay? This body has issues. And don't you laugh at me, because you do too. Let's just say, for instance, you had never seen a train, and I could take you where there's a train wreck. So I'll show you a train, and here at the bottom of this cavern where the trestle gave out and the train landed in a pile in the bottom, I could say, there is a train. But really, it's not what the Creator intended that train to be. Now, the only thing you ever have seen is a train wreck. This facility right here, no offense, folks, this is a train wreck. Because of sin, we do not experience the facility that God intended. So therefore, as time goes on, each day we get closer to death. Death does not make you look pretty. Death makes you look dead. We take a body and we put it in a casket and we pay a decent amount of money to get what is known as the undertaker to fix up the facility that is no longer being used so that when you walk by, you say, oh, don't they look nice? Generally, that's not what is said when we walk by a casket. No offense. This sounds morbid. Technically, it is morbid. But when we walk by you and you are departed, and that's the empty car that used to carry you around, usually it doesn't really look like who it was. There's something that happens when life is taken out of the body. Are you following me on this? So the facility that you and I are blessed with right now that carries us around isn't really who we are. Who we are is buried inside of that, and God gives us the ability to exercise ourselves for him through the facility, through this body that he's trusted us with. And as we get older, the old body's wearing out, and that's just part of life. But it's not the end. If you know Christ is your personal Savior, the day will come when you will leave this body, but you will not die. Now, if this was us, if this was truly us, when we say the absent from the body is present with the Lord, Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will never die. Then if this was really us, when we walked by the casket, we'd say, God is a liar. He said we wouldn't die, and there he is. No, 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 no. That is not the case. When you see a casket, D.L. Moody said it best. We've quoted him a million times. When you read someday that D.L. Moody has died, don't you believe a word of it. D.L. Moody will be more alive than he ever has been before. And D.L. Moody is in heaven today, more alive than he's ever been before, though we can go and see his grave site. The facility, the body you and I walk around in, is not who we are. We're buried in here. It's our soul and our spirit is buried in here. And someday we'll be separated from our bodies to go to be with the Lord. And then, obviously, a different conversation altogether. We'll be reunited in this body when God will make it new and perfect and like him. And the story goes on. While we are here, though, said all that to say this. This external building that he has given us belongs to the Lord. This belongs to the Lord. Regardless of the condition you are in, your body belongs to the Lord. When you trusted him as your Savior, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, what? Know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. As you and I conduct the business of the Lord, we are to glorify him in everything we do. Every mark you put on this body, it has something to do with how you represent Jesus Christ. Guys, the length of your hair, I'm not getting into whatever is a good look or a bad, I'm not going there. I'm just saying the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you look. Ladies, the revealing or lack of revealing clothes, all of it directly represents the glory and honor we are bringing to God Almighty who lives inside of us. Does that make sense? Now, I know that's not popular. People get real nervous when the pastor starts talking about standards and separation from the world. But I'm telling you, when you got saved in the world, you were called out of the world to go back in and represent Jesus Christ to the world. And how we do that, our body belongs to him. The body that you and I walk around in belongs to the Lord. He bought us and he paid for it. We are walking, talking ambassadors for the kingdom. I was excited this week when Mike Huckabee was appointed as the ambassador to Israel. Now, if you follow things at all, Mike Huckabee is a born-again Christian, former Southern Baptist preacher, former governor of Arkansas, a believer in Jesus Christ, and unashamedly so, and honestly, as a Christian, can you think of a more exciting appointment than to be the ambassador to Israel? I'm thinking, honestly, I was envious of that. How unbelievable would that be an ambassador of the United States to the nation of Israel? To me, two of the greatest countries that have ever existed. And he's going to be a part of that. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 in the NIV says this, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. The purpose of the ambassador is to represent the kingdom that he comes from, to live in a country that he does not belong to represent the kingdom that he came from. You and I, the Bible clearly teaches us that once we trust Christ as our Savior, now we've been saved out of the world, you are not a resident of earth headed to heaven. You are a resident of heaven here on earth as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So as we walk around, I represent my King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Stan Griffin is a foreigner. I am an alien, not an illegal alien, but I am an alien in the United States because my home is in heaven where Jesus is preparing a place for me, and that's the case for you as well if you know Christ as your personal Savior. So you're following me on all of this, okay? So obviously we have a facility, we have a body, we are here on assignment representing Jesus Christ. While we are here, as the body of Christ, he has given us gifts to fulfill the work he's called us to do. For the body to function best, it needs to be, number one, it needs to be complete. Now, this may sound ridiculous to you, but we can't remove our arms and legs. Now, obviously, some people through tragedy have lost something, and when you see them, paraplegic. Years ago, I knew a man that had lost his arm in an accident in a mill, arm cut off. I read of one some just recently here in the state that someone was working up north and lost an arm in a piece of farm machinery. Those things happen. It's tragic. But we can't separate ourselves from our body parts. For our body to function best, It needs to be complete. Can we agree on that? Now, get this, don't miss it. You are an integral part of this body. For this church to function best, you need to be here. It would be ridiculous if I came in and I didn't have my left arm and you said, oh, my word, Stan, what happened to your left arm? Oh, I left it home today. I didn't really decide I wanted to take it with me. You know, that. Well, you know what? As crazy as that sounds, when you are not here and this is your church, you are part of this place. And we cannot function completely as powerfully without you as we can with you. You are part of the body. And the body of Christ needs to be complete. You need to be in your place. We need you. Say that with me. We need you. And I can't understate that enough. Now, as the body, God gives us gifts. And I've got to move quickly here. Scholars differ on what particular gifts there are, but I'll give you a list very quickly. The gift of evangelism, gift of prophecy, gift of teaching, exhortation, pastor shepherd, showing mercy, serving, giving, administration. Those are gifts that are enumerated in God's word that every one of you sitting here, you have at least one gift. Now, I don't know what it is, but you can figure this out. This isn't rocket science. You'll notice that when you use that gift for the honor and glory of God, you will excel in that area. And if you do not have that gift, you won't do as well in that area. You are gifted people. When God saved you, He gifted you, and He wants to use you for that purpose. Along with that, you know, I've shared with you before, sometimes I do not like, if you're a preacher here that can sing, I don't like you. That's not fair. That means you have more than one gift. You can preach and you can sing. I think you should either preach or you should sing. Now, Brother Carl Engstrom's 95 years old. That guy traveled the world singing and preaching. I love that man. So obviously, I'm joking, but the guy was more talented, and that just ticks me off. That why it just when he started handing out the gifts, life's not fair. Okay, there are some people that just can. Seth Brown, you watch him on the stage. He's never doing the same thing. The kid can do all of it. You know, if we could clone him and duplicate him, every person on the stage would look like Seth Brown because he can play every one of those instruments. He just can only be in one spot at the time. That's not fair. That's not right. But don't get caught up in what others can do. Get caught up in what the Lord has asked you to do. And so what happens is that sometimes people will say, well, you know, I don't have the gift to preach, and so obviously I can't do anything. Preaching is just one part of the equation. We need Sunday school teachers. Some of you have the gift of exhortation. Man, you can just, it's encouragement. Some of you are so good at it. Someone came up to me this morning, one of our ladies, and said, I just want to thank you for X, this, and that. Obviously, the gift of encouragement, exhortation, that some of you can do that, and it seems so sincere. Some people come up and they say nice things to you, and it just doesn't seem sincere at all. I'm thinking, boy, you know, and honestly, no offense, but I don't believe you. People can say certain things at times, and if you either have the gift or you don't. Does this make sense? You're with me on this. So use your gift. Be here. Be part of God's family, God's body. But all of that being said, the Apostle Paul said, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. What's the more excellent way? 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, the most excellent thing you can have, greater than the gift that God has given you, is something every one of us are capable of doing, and that is L-O-V-E, love. Love is the great difference maker to the body in the church. If you walk into a church that has great talent with no love, you can tell there's something missing in this church. But on the other hand, if you walk into a church that's just straight struck full of potato farmers, hard blue-collar workers, folks that really don't have a whole lot of talents, but they love one another, that's the crowd I want to hang out with. That's the difference maker. Paul said, I show unto you a more excellent way. The more excellent way is don't get caught up in what your gift is, though you should be using it. As you use your gift, you had better be loving when you do it. That's huge. And I'm just about out of time. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains. I want to just stop for a second. The Bible clearly teaches that faith can move mountains. There are people that claim they can do that, and usually they're fakes. But God has given people great faith in the past to do incredible things, and they've done it. You know, I've referenced D.L. Moody already, but you know, Moody died at 62 years old. I'm 62. He started the college, shook two continents for God. You and I are still quoting him today at 62 years old. That man was a great man of faith. And he did incredible things. But the Bible says if you have great faith and you don't have love, your faith doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It's so important. Faith that could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, you die as a martyr without love. Zero. It profiteth me nothing. The more excellent way is love. It beats all other gifts, abilities, facilities, families. Without it, you will not accomplish what you are put here to do. It is the great difference maker, life changer, and most of all, what the world cannot truly imitate nor facilitate. Love is the difference. Now, that was the introduction, pretty much. I'll give this to you very quickly. Number one, love is taught, not caught. We want so much just, oh, I saw her and I knew it was love. No, 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 no. You may have seen something, but it wasn't love. Love is something that you learn from someone. Jesus gave the great example, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Watch this. In this was manifested. In other words, in this was shown the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. We want love to be this wonderful feeling. Oh, it was so wonderful. Just being with her, I just had this liver shiver I've never had before. And it was just so, folks, that's not love. That's not love. Love is taught, not caught. For you and I to be loving people, we need to show love, not just try to feel it. Number two, love is taught, not caught. Love is a command. It's something you do whether you feel like it or not. I won't ask this morning, but you know, if we ask guys, do you always feel like loving your wife? Don't answer that. Especially if she's here in the room. Ladies, do you always feel like loving your husband? Of course not. But I'll tell you what, if you and I only loved when we felt like it, the world would be a pretty loveless place. The church would be a loveless place. Love is a command. We love whether we feel like it or not. Number three, love is concisely stated in 2 John verses 5, 6, and 7. And I'll just give you verse 6. And this is love. You ready? And this is love. You know, the world's all trying to figure out what love is. You know what? They got a big sign up that says, love is love. Huh? That doesn't even make sense. But that's what the world figures. I can tell you, the Bible tells you what love is. Watch this. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. That's love. Well, that doesn't seem very loving. I don't know what that feels like. You don't feel love. You exercise love. You live love. How do you do that? You follow God's commandments. Say that with me. Follow God's commandments. Well, Stan, how does that look? Well, love one another. How do I do that? How about packing some shoeboxes for a bunch of people you'll never meet? That's honoring the Lord. That's loving. How about doing something, guys, for your wife? Well, you know, I don't know if I should do that. Well, you know what? The Bible commands us to love one another. Husbands, love your wives. Ladies, wives, respect your husbands. Those are commands. When you obey God's word, you are loving. When you obey God's commands, you are loving. If you're jumping in bed with someone you're not married to, that's not love, because that's not God's command. When you fulfill God's word, you are exercising love. You know what makes the church different from the world is to love. How do we love? For the church to obey this book right here. And when you do that, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. When we obey God's word, when we do what we know to do, then we love one another, we love God Almighty, and we're showing the world there's a different way to live than that crowd that you're watching in politics. Thank you, folks, for all of you that go out there in the public, and when you can, you share your faith of what Christ has done for you, and I'm telling you, you are making a difference. And don't you ever think that you're not.